NDR Info. Nachtclub.
So, bei mir im Studio in der zweiten Stunde ist, wie gesagt, Hannah Rogers alias Pix und das Album heißt The Age of Anxiety. Und sie kommt gleich zu Wort in dieser zweiten Stunde, aber erstmal Musik von dem Album The Age of Anxiety, Here's Grip. Das ist also Pix von dem Album The Age of Anxiety mit Grip. Und bei mir im Studio ist, wie gesagt, Hannah Rogers. Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good to see you. And it's been out for quite a while now, this album, so the dust has settled, in a sense. And when you actually kind of look back to the way you thought about it when the album was just finished, have you got a different perception of it now? Has it changed in any way your perception?
I look at it now kind of as, you know, it is very much an introduction to me. And I think, there were so many different sort of genres that kind of came into the, like, influenced the album. It's been an interesting summer, but it feels very good to have an album out there.
Right. Ja, sie sagt, dass als sie dieses Debütalbum gemacht hat, war sie klar, dass es im Prinzip die ersten Schritte sind. Es ist schon so ihre Einführung quasi. Es ist das erste Album. Und es gibt nur einmal ein erstes Album. Und es ist sehr klar, dass es eine ziemliche stilistische Bandbreite gibt, was dieses Album betrifft. Und deshalb hat sie sich nicht so richtig festgelegt, was die Richtung betrifft. Aber es war einfach schön, das Gefühl zu haben, also ein Debütalbum im Sommer veröffentlicht zu haben. And of course, it's gone down quite well, I think. And is it something which you expected? I mean, you've been around a bit longer than people think. I mean, there was an EP in 2015. And so it has been a gradual build. And does it feel like a bit of a bolt out of the blue for you in terms of the impression you've made? Or does it seem more gradual to you? What's your view of that?
It feels very gradual to me. It was quite, you know, not necessarily the writing and producing process, you know, that process was pretty quick, really. I was sort of writing a lot and producing in the studio, producing a lot. But I had to learn to be patient, you know, because you can kind of have a full body of work that you're desperate to put out and, you know, you just can't because of, you know, the way that it works within the industry and the timings and, you know. But, yeah, it feels very gradual to me. It's very sort.
And you would have liked to have actually been quicker in the whole process, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was very desperate to get the music out there as soon as I possibly could, really.
Mm-hmm, okay. And what period did you actually start writing songs? Have you been writing songs from your early childhood, or did you just start more or less when you left school?
I started writing, I think, when I was probably 14, which is the same year that I learned how to play the guitar.
Okay.
Which I kind of just picked up from watching my dad play. And, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy, actually, because, I mean, I used to write lots of poems as a kid. I was very into sort of, I loved reading and I liked writing. And as soon as I kind of got good enough at the guitar, I would really just sort of come home from school and lock myself in my room and just write songs. And that was all I did for, you know, really my entire sort of teen years.
Okay. Ja, sie sagt, dass sie schon Geduld haben musste, was dieses Album betrifft. Sie wäre schneller gewesen, wenn es nach ihr gegangen wäre. Sie hatte den Wunsch eigentlich, das Debütalbum schon längst fertig zu bekommen. Aber es dauert eben in dem Musikgeschäft, in der Musikbranche, bis man wirklich so weit ist. Und sie musste einfach lernen, geduldig zu sein. Aber das ist, am wichtigsten ist es natürlich, dass es jetzt geklappt hat, dass das Album jetzt da ist. Und sie hat schon mit 14 angefangen, Songs zu schreiben. Und ist aber alt, indem sie das Gitarrenspiel gelernt hat. Sie hat die Gitarre gelernt mit 14. Und sie hat auch gleichzeitig dann angefangen, Songs zu schreiben, sobald sie die Gitarre so beherrscht hat. Und sie hat immer viel Gedichte gelesen. Sie hat immer leidenschaftlich gerne gelesen und auch geschrieben. Und sie hat im Prinzip ihre gesamte Teenagerjahre einfach so sich eingesperrt in ihrem Jugendzimmer und hat dann musiziert. Und deshalb ist eigentlich kein Wunder, dass sie jetzt schon ein Debütalbum hat. So, you're 21 now.
22, actually.
22, oh, right, yeah. Time flies, yeah.
Yeah.
Almost a pop veteran now. But does it still seem to be like the first flush of youth in that sense for you personally? Or do you think that honeymoon period is now over? Does it get down to the gritty reality of things now, do you think? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I've been writing a lot since that album came out, and the style of writing is definitely changing. And I think having music out there now kind of allows me to, you know, I can kind of take it anywhere I want, which was really what my plan was, because I knew when I started writing the album that I wasn't 100% sure what genre I was going to fit into. And I think maybe I tried not to get tied down with, you know, do I fit in here or there, and I tried to just do it as naturally as it sort of came.
And now you've decided to do just industrial hardcore and nothing else.
Yeah. Now I'm into screamo, so.
Okay. I'll look forward to that. Yeah, so, I mean, but you've got a bit clearer idea in your mind now where it's going to go. How are you going to push the music forward, do you think?
Yeah, I definitely do, yeah. I'm really excited. It's nice to sort of be back on the guitar and stuff. I think I kind of... I get a bit overexcited in the studio with the synths and the, you know, and as much as I love that, it's kind of nice to be back with just me and my guitar kind of writing the sort of bare bones of the songs again.
So you think it's going to go in a more organic direction, do you think?
I think so, yeah. I'm ready to kind of, I want it to be very much sort of like be able to be portrayed live with a band, kind of, you know, without having too much electronic stuff involved.
Okay. Ja, sie ist sich bewusst, dass als sie das Debütalbum fertiggestellt hat, dass es stilistisch so unterschiedlich war. Und es lag einfach daran, dass sie nicht hundertprozentig wusste, in welche Richtung sie eigentlich gehen wollte oder wie sie sich selber musikalisch definieren möchte. Und sie hat jetzt im Laufe der Zeit eher so ein richtiges Gefühl dafür bekommen, was sie machen möchte. Sie kann nicht zu viel verraten jetzt, aber Schwerpunkt ist anscheinend Gitarre. Es ist sehr wohltuend für sie, neue Songs mit der Gitarre zu spielen. Und sie meinte, das ist manchmal übertrieben gewesen mit den Synthesizern. Und sie meinte, sie ist manchmal ein bisschen zu aufgeregt und überkandidelt, wenn sie mit Synthesizern arbeitet. Und es ist eben bodenständiger für sie, eine Gitarre in die Hand zu nehmen. Und sie glaubt schon, dass die neue Richtung eher bodenständig sein wird. Also eher ein bisschen ursprünglich. Also sie hat von organisch geredet. Right, so we're going to hear an example maybe of a quite an excitable synthesizer track now.
Yeah.
You're getting excited on the synthesizer. which track would you like to hear?
Maybe Romance.
Romance, okay. Well, that's a good choice. It wasn't a single, so it makes it more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So, Honey, it's Romance, von dem Album The Age of Anxiety from Pix. So that's what Romance, von dem Album The Age of Anxiety von Pix und Hannah Rogers, alias Pix, is by mir in studio. The Age of Anxiety is a debut album und die neue Platte ist bereits in Arbeit. It's obviously the case that you've taken a lot of trouble when it comes down to your lyrics. I mean, you said that you've always read a lot of poems and done a lot of reading, and I think that's reflected in the fact that it's not trivial subject matter. Everything seems to have quite a lot of depth to it, which I think is interesting because it can be a kind of poppy front and facade, and then you kind of get drawn in by the depth of the lyrics. I think it's interesting the way that fits together. I mean, was that like a conscious stance for you? Did you think, well, you know, you're going to have kind of quite easily memorable melodies like the singles, but we're going to have something with real substance behind it? Or is it just how it just happened to turn out?
Well, I think I kind of got to a point where I was always hearing the popular music that I was hearing was just so often, you know, like you say, very kind of trivial, and the lyrics just not really having any depth or really saying anything. And you know, it's not like it's massively political or anything like that what I'm writing about, but I wanted to make sure that I was using my sort of music to talk about things that I found important, and but also didn't, you know, want to sort of have it. Yeah, I kind of realized that I preferred performing more upbeat music, and it gives people the option to kind of either delve into it and try and sort of and think about the lyrics and, you know, relate to them or whatever, or just listen to it and it put them in a good mood, or, you know, hopefully. So
you actually feel quite irritated about how superficial some pop music really is?
Yeah, I mean, it worries me slightly, sort of how little popular music sort of addresses lots of issues, particularly with female pop musicians like Rihanna and Beyonce. And, you know, there's obviously, like, Solange came out earlier this year with a, like, amazing record that's very, very political and, like, very important. And actually, I heard that, and it was the first time in a very long time that I've...
Sorry, who did he say? I didn't catch that.
Solange.
I saw Solange, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and that record really, you know, I found that it really touched me, and I was really sort of made me feel very hopeful about sort of the direction in which female music can go.
Do you feel a sense of responsibility, a sense of moral responsibility when it comes down to your art in that respect? Do you think that is getting too carried away? Do you think artists shouldn't really be forced to be responsible in that respect, or taking a positive stance in this kind of way?
Yeah, I think, you know, it goes one or two ways, but I think I just remember being a little girl, and I was lucky enough to have a dad who kind of showed me really good music and was always, you know, explaining to me the meanings of like protest songs by Bob Dylan, and that definitely shaped who I am and what music means to me. But I also, you know, see these music videos and these songs that are just very grilling, and the music videos just sort of present women as like a very sexualized thing, and that is kind of all that it is. And then I think of all of the young people who are growing up, and that's what they see and hear from their role models, and I think that it's bad. Yeah, I think it's not, I don't think it's very, very good for young people to be necessarily only really seeing that kind of side to music.
Ja, sie meint, dass ihre Texte nicht im geringsten oberflächlich sind. Es war immer ganz wichtig, dass sie eine Botschaft vermittelt, dass sie Songs schreibt, die wirklich eine Bedeutung haben. Sie meinte nicht, dass es besonders politisch ist oder besonders sozial bewusst in dem Sinne, aber es sind schon Songs mit einem gewissen Tiefgang. Und sie meinte, dass auch wenn man poppige, melodische Musik schreibt mit einem guten Tempo, ist es natürlich immer noch möglich, ernste Texte zu haben. Und sie denkt, dass die Leute, wenn sie Lust haben, können sich dann schon mit ihrer Musik dann ernster auseinandersetzen. Oder die Musik natürlich dann nur auf relativ oberflächliche Weise genießen, wenn sie möchten. Aber sie meinte, es ist schon wichtig für sie, dass sie was Seriöses dann darstellt. Und sie meinte, das ist ein Problem in der heutigen Zeit, dass gerade was so Frauenpopmusik betrifft, dass es oft extrem oberflächlich ist und dass die Frauen oft als Sexobjekte dargestellt werden in den Videoclips. Und sie fühlte sich sehr ermutigt von einem Abend von Solange dieses Jahr, weil das so politisch ist und weil es so bedeutend war. Aber sie meinte, das ist eher leider die Ausnahme, die die Regel bestätigt. Und sie hat das Glück gehabt, dass als sie jünger war, dann hat sie einen Vater gehabt, der sehr guten Musikgeschmack hatte. Und durch ihn hat sie viel vernünftige Musik gehört, wie Bob Dylan zum Beispiel. Die Protestlieder von Bob Dylan hat sie kennengelernt. Und sie wusste dann, was gute, so seriöse und bedeutungsvolle Musik wirklich bedeuten kann. I've actually been doing a bit of homework about this, about your father and his record collection and the influence that he had on you. So there's a couple of tracks, what I've got here actually, one from Joni Mitchell, Little Green, mm-hmm. another one from Kate Bush and Dream of Sheep. So maybe you could hear one of those. And it's, and maybe you could just tell me why. Well, first of all, make a choice of the two and then say why that song maybe is of particular importance and significance to you.
Well, maybe the Joni Mitchell one, because... Okay. Joni Mitchell, Little Green, that song, I remember my dad telling me when I was a little girl, I got so into that album through him, and I remember him saying to me that he used to always play it when I was like in my mum's belly still.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's obviously that, it's a very heartbreaking song. I probably didn't really understand it as a child, but lyrically I think that song from Joni Mitchell is just, I mean, it's a real heartbreaker, but... It's the sort of the way that she can make you visualize what she's singing about is just so incredible. I've always found it very inspiring.
Okay. Ja, also ich habe nämlich ein bisschen recherchiert. Ich wusste nämlich, dass sie sehr stark inspiriert worden ist von der Plattensammlung ihres Vaters. Und ein Lieblingslied von ihr hören wir gleich, von Joni Mitchell, und zwar Little Green von dem Album Blue 1971. Und sie hat dieses Lied als kleines Kind im Grunde genommen schon kennengelernt. Und sie hat es zwar nicht verstanden zu dem Zeitpunkt, aber der Vater fand das Lied besonders wichtig, weil er das oft gehört hat, als seine Frau noch schwanger war mit ihr, mit Hannah. Und deshalb ist es ein sehr wichtiger Song für die Familie auch. Und der Song ist sehr herzzerreißend, hat sie das Kind natürlich nicht verstanden. Aber sie bewundert Joni Mitchell sehr und es ist gewissermaßen ein Vorbild für sie. Wir hören jetzt das Little Green von Joni Mitchell von dem Album Blue. Das war Little Green von Joni Mitchell von dem Album Blue. Und bei mir im Studio ist Hannah Rogers, alias Pix. So, obviously, you don't have any prejudice against older music. Is maybe just the opposite the case? I mean, do you actually feel, looking back at what used to be in the 60s and 70s or whatever, do you think there was more significant music, or more, is it difficult for you to say?
I think there was a time when I was quite down and negative about modern music, but actually in the last few years I've sort of discovered so many amazing artists that I didn't know. For example, Ort. I just started listening to Ort for the first time. And yeah, I mean, I think there is so much good new music that I've missed, but what I've always thought is that the music from the 60s and the 70s did speak very, very sort of outright about what was going on at the time. A lot of it was very personal or very, did actually have an impact. And, you know, when a song got in the charts or whatever, it was actually promoting an idea or whatever that actually influenced people. And I think that's kind of the thing that I envy, that I don't sort of see now, I guess.
Okay. Ja, sie sagt, dass sie tatsächlich früher mal das Gefühl hatte, dass die Musik von früher aus den 60er und 70er Jahren tatsächlich von größerer Bedeutung war. Aber inzwischen hat sie schon ganz viele neue, junge Bands kennengelernt, die ihr sehr viel bedeuten. Insofern, das war nur so eine schlimme Phase, die sie gehabt hat. Und jetzt ist ihre Wahrnehmung schon ein bisschen anders. Sie liebt zum Beispiel die Band Ort, hat sie gerade vor kurzem kennengelernt. Und sie meinte, es gibt genügend spannende Beispiele, so ist es nicht. Aber was vielleicht einmalig war, wenn es um die alte Musik aus der Zeit geht, 60er und 70er Jahre, sie beneidet einfach so, was für eine Wirkung solche Musik gehabt hat, was für eine Auswirkung, also politisch und gesellschaftlich. Und das ist im Prinzip so eine einmalige Geschichte gewesen und es wird nie wiederkommen. And when it comes down to your own work now, the songs you're writing now and the songs on this album, do you actually think in terms of artistic merit? I mean, do you actually worry ahead about how good is it really, or is that something which it motivates you in some way, or is it something which kind of irritates you because is there any kind of self-doubt there, or with what you're actually, when you write a song, mm-hmm. I mean, how self-assured are you? Are you always convinced that it's really wonderful what you're doing, or are you kind of quite critical about what you do?
I think, yeah, it's you kind of know it's sort of in, you know, that day I'll either start writing a song and know that it's going in a very good direction, or I'll be having a day where I'm like, oh no, this is so bad, and you know, I don't want to really progress it much further. When I was younger, I used to just churn songs out all the time. You know, I'd be writing like at least 3 songs probably in like a day. And I think that was because, you know, it was when I just sort of learned how to play guitar, and it was very all the time. I was sort of learning and it was always changing, which is kind of what I'm trying to do now, is go back to that kind of, because it can be distracting in the studio, and sometimes I think it's almost like you need to work backwards, because there's, you know, the bones of the song are great, but then there's almost too much going on around it, and from just getting a bit, again, overexcited in the studio.
Right.
So I guess it's a lot of the time, I guess, looking into the future of my music is sort of what I take away from it, rather than, you know, try and not let it be too overcrowded.
And you said that at one stage when you're a lot younger, you were writing 3 songs in a day. I mean, is it always the case that the creative juices are always flowing as far as you're concerned? Or do you have phases where maybe you're not in such a good spirit creatively?
Well, actually, I had the probably the biggest sort of blank that I've ever experienced in songwriting. I had it up until about 2 months ago, and it's crazy how strange it can make you feel, because it is almost like it's sort of boiling over inside you. And then that day that you wake up and there's a song ready to come out of your lungs, it's a very good feeling.
Of course, yeah. Ja, sie meinte, dass sie früher, als sie jünger war, wirklich sehr viele Songs geschrieben hat, teilweise 3 Songs pro Tag. Das war, als sie gerade angefangen hatte, dann Gitarre zu spielen. Aber sie meinte, dass es im Laufe der Jahre schon langsamer geworden ist, das Tempo natürlich. Und sie achtet mehr auf die Qualität, logischerweise. Und sie genießt eigentlich den ganzen kreativen Prozess. Und es ist eigentlich was ganz natürlich für sie. Und sie kennt sowas nicht wirklich wie eine Schreibblockade. Sie hat also schon neue Erfahrungen gesammelt, dass sie teilweise besser zu Hause arbeiten kann, wo sie wirklich nur mit einer Gitarre sitzt und ganz alleine ist. Weil im Studio, sie meinte, es lenkt einfach zu sehr ab, wenn zu viel musikalisch passiert, wenn die Arrangements zu bunt werden. Und sie kriegt ganz viele Vorschläge, was wie ein Song arrangiert werden sollte. Und das kann schon ablenken von ihrem eigentlichen Ziel. Und insofern, sie lernt immer dazu. Und sie meinte, sie hat schon eine gewisse Schreibblockade gehabt, also bis vor 2 Monaten. Und es war ganz komisch und eine Erleichterung, als es vorbei war, als sie eines Morgens aufgewacht ist und sie wusste, dass jetzt ein Lied kommen würde. Und sie hatte das dringende Bedürfnis, gleich loszusingen und es gleich zu dokumentieren, so ihre neuen Ideen. Und das gehört einfach natürlich zum Künstlerdasein dazu. So, what would you like to hear now? Should we maybe hear a track from your the EP from 2015? Because a lot of people won't actually know that, the Fallen EP.
Yeah, sure.
And is there a track on this which is particularly old, do you think?
I think maybe Deplore's pretty... that's a pretty old one.
Okay, well, it doesn't have to be just because it's old, but I'm just thinking maybe to give people an idea about, you know, where you came from originally.
Yeah, Deplore was probably the one.
Okay, which goes back to when? Can you remember when you wrote it?
Probably about... I wrote it in my bedroom when I was probably maybe 19.
Right, okay. And at the time you thought you were going to be a folk artist then, or what?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know what I thought. I mean, yeah, I kind of... That was just me on my guitar, and then get in the studio with Simon Burt, and all sorts of madness starts happening.
Right, okay. So, Hen jetzt ein ganz altes Lied, möglicherweise das älteste Lied, das sie jetzt bisher veröffentlicht hat, und zwar von der Fallen EP 2015. Das war das letzte Stück auf der EP Deplore. Und sie meinte, ja, es war einfach nur sie und ihre Gitarre, so ist das Lied entstanden, und sie hatte keine Ahnung, wie sich das alles entwickeln würde. Ist also Picks von 2015 mit Deplore von der EP Fallen. So das war von der EP Fallen Picks von 2015, das Stück Deplore, und Hannah Rogers ist bei mir immer noch in Studio. And of course, it's got a very interesting title, The Arm, the Age of Anxiety, and it's been well documented that it was from a W.H. Auden poem from 1947. And do you think it's important to make a statement in that sense that... it's going back a bit to what we were saying before about the music not being trivial. I mean, you can't really get more of an important sounding album title, The Age of Anxiety. I mean, it's so loaded with possible meaning, isn't it? And so, in a sense, you're asking for trouble if you can't give a decent answer. Like, you know what I mean? Do you feel that you can actually back that up at this stage, or have you come a bit of a cropper, do you think, with it?
I still feel very strongly that I made the right decision to call it that. It was just written in a notebook that my brother gave me. He'd like written a quote from it, and okay. And you know, put next to it The Age of Anxiety. And I'd been sort of battling in my head about what I was going to call the album for a long time. And I saw it, and it really stuck with me. You know, a lot of the songs on the album are written about, I mean, dealing with anxieties and you know, and just all the worries that we have in day to day life. And I tried not to, you know, and I think that album title, you know, is, I mean, it's bold, and it was kind of making a statement. And actually everyone was like, don't call it that. and I was just like, well, it makes sense to me. It was just the only thing that fitted. And once I made my mind up, it was, yeah, there was no going back.
Well, I mean, it can't be a bad thing to get people to actually be attentive. And they're more likely to be so with an album title like that, aren't they?
Mm.
If you went and called it The Lovers, for example, then it wouldn't be quite as inspiring, would it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so it makes sense in that respect. Ja, das Album heißt The Age of Anxiety, also das Zeitalter der Angst. Und das ist natürlich schon ein bedeutungsschwerer Titel. Und sie wusste natürlich dann, dass es in Frage gestellt wird, was meint sie denn damit? Und es ist tatsächlich geliehen von einem Gedicht von W.H. Auden 1947. Und es ist ein Gedicht, das von dem Menschsein im Angesicht, also der gesellschaftlichen Entwicklung darstellt. Und sie meinte, sie kannte das Gedicht nicht mal. Es war in einem Notizblock von ihrem Bruder, hat einfach ein Zitat aus dem Gedicht genommen. Aber es hat sie trotzdem inspiriert, obwohl sie das Gedicht noch nicht kannte. Und sie meinte, es ist schon passend, weil das Album handelt tatsächlich von Ängsten. Und es handelt von Problemen des Alltags und wie es ist, überhaupt das Leben zu bewältigen. Und von daher gesehen, sie denkt, sie steht dazu, also dass es tatsächlich so heißt. And of course, when the album came out, there was talk about the fact that you're often inspired by dreams. Is that an ongoing process now? Do you think that's like a chapter is behind you now?
I still have really crazy dreams sometimes. I enjoy them. It's not like a sort of fear. I'm not sort of scared of my dreams. I feel like I know when I'm in a dream now. So it's just quite an interesting experience. I always say, like, the feeling that I have in my dreams is just so, the way that I actually feel is so different to how I've ever felt in real life. Like, I feel like you can experience a whole new range of emotion, and you can see everything in a completely different way when you're in a dream. But yeah, when I was younger, I got really strange recurring dreams that did drive me a little bit mad for a while. That's one of the songs on the album, A Big Cloud to Float Upon, is written about that sort of, that feeling that I used to sort of get when I knew that I was going to bed and I knew that I was going to have the same dream again. But that was when I was really young. And now my dreams are just very interesting. And I always am just, I'm just quite mesmerised by how sort of mad our minds are.
Right. So, which is a very valuable source for inspiration for your songs, of course. Let's hope it carries on that way.
Yeah.
As long as they don't get traumatic, they say, you know, as long as you manage to actually feel good about it, sort of emotionally.
Yeah.
And do you think you've had to work at that to actually feel better about them emotionally? Is it just a growing up process?
I think it was kind of a growing up process, to be honest. I think lots of kids get dreams and, you know, but yeah, I think not. I feel lucky that I have so many dreams, really. I almost feel disappointed when I don't have a mad dream to write about.
Right, okay. And, well, it's like on a daily basis. Do you always dream vividly?
Or just
like once a week or?
A few a week, probably.
Okay, right. Yeah, also das Album handelt oft von Träumen, die sie gehabt hat. Also das ist ein wichtiger Bestandteil der Inspiration für dieses Album, weil sie schon als Kind sehr bunte Träume gehabt hat. Und in der Kindheit war es teilweise ein Problem, weil sie tatsächlich so schlimme Träume waren teilweise, die sich wiederholt haben, ein paar Tage hintereinander. Und es führte dann zu Angstzuständen, die sie gehabt hatten. Deshalb passt natürlich der Albumtitel auch ganz gut, weil es dokumentiert im Prinzip so diese Phase in ihrem Leben. Und die Träume hat sie immer noch. Und also mehrmals die Woche, das ist immer noch der Fall. Und es ist eine gute Quelle für Inspiration natürlich für ihre Songs. Und glücklicherweise ist es auch so, dass sie jetzt besser damit klarkommt. Das sind Träume, die sie genießen kann. Und sie meinte, es ist wirklich total interessant, weil ihre Wahrnehmung der Dinge ist komplett anders in einem Traum als im wirklichen Leben. Es sind wirklich zwei völlig verschiedene Welten. Und sie weiß es sehr zu schätzen, dass sie tatsächlich so ein Mensch ist, der solche so bunte, lebhafte Träume hat. Und es gibt ein Lied auf dem Album, das von den schlimmen Träumen ihrer frühen Kindheit handelt, A Big Cloud to Float Upon. Und das war, wie gesagt, so eine Phase, die sie bewältigen musste. Und zum Glück ist sie jetzt darüber hinweg. Und das Lied hören wir jetzt, A Big Cloud to Float Upon. Das war Big Cloud to Float Upon von Pix von dem Album The Age of Anxiety. Of course, you went to this music school, the Brit School, and how do you feel about that now in hindsight? Do you think that was like a good thing for you? It was just a mixed blessing? Or how did that affect your attitude and what you're doing now?
It was definitely the right sort of place for me to be, I think. I'd been at like an all-girls Catholic school for 5 years before that, which was definitely not a place where creativity was, you know, flowing.
Not really rock and roll.
No. It was very, you know, it did actually, I found it really tough being there, and sort of, I got into the Brit School and I didn't really know what to expect. And like, to be honest, there are parts of it that were really silly, like the fact that we had to perform cover songs and stuff at shows instead of just doing our own material and stuff like that. I could never understand why teachers would pick a song for you to sing, and rather than sort of encourage people to be writing their own music. But generally, I, you know, met so many amazing people, and obviously we're all encouraged to sort of to be sort of like get into bands. And you know, you're just suddenly, when I was just surrounded by so many creative people for the first time in my life, it definitely really helped me.
Yeah, so it gave you a basis to work on, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And it helped to find your feet. I mean, so you think it might have taken longer if you hadn't gone to a school like that?
Maybe. I think it certainly would have been different. I got really into, like, jazz music, actually, when I was at the Brit School. I had a friend there who sort of was an amazing jazz guitarist, and he sort of taught me some shapes on the guitar that I then you know, that really sort of influenced the sound of the songs I was writing.
Okay. Ja, sie hat die Brit-Schule besucht, so eine Musikschule in London, die ziemlich renommiert ist. Und ich fragte sie, ob sie das als positive Erinnerung jetzt behalten hat, ob das eine gute Erfahrung für sie war. Und sie meinte letztendlich schon. Sie war nämlich 5 Jahre lang auf einer katholischen Schule, eine reine Mädchenschule. Und das war nicht gerade so ein kreativer Ort. Sie hat nicht gerade die Motivation gefunden da, um tatsächlich zu musizieren und ihren eigenen Weg zu gehen. Das war eine sehr strenge Schule. Und sie meinte, es gab zwar so alberne, so dumme Aspekte von dieser Schule, dieser Brit-Schule, die sie nicht mochte, wie sie zum Beispiel dann gezwungen wurde, irgendwelche Cover-Songs zu singen, die sie gar nicht singen wollte, die sie selber nicht mehr aussuchen konnte. Aber es gab sehr viel Positives auch. Und sie hat einfach so viele tolle, kreative Menschen kennengelernt. Und sie hat Jazzmusik kennengelernt im Prinzip auf dieser Schule auch. Ein Freund von ihr hat sehr toll so Jazzgitarre gespielt und hat ihr sehr viel beigebracht. Insofern war es alles in allem eine gute Basis für sie, ihre Karriere zu starten. Right, well, thanks very much for coming out to talk to me. I appreciate that. It was good to see you.
Yeah, thank you. Very nice.
And, yeah, what would you like to hear to finish off then?
What? Any song?
Any song.
Oh, are you talking about my song?
Yeah, your song. Oh, yeah. Not a silly cover song which you did at the Brit School. No.
Maybe Mood Ring Eyes.
Okay, a nice restrained way to finish off proceedings. Okay. So then jetzt das Schlussstück des Albums At the Age of Anxiety, Mood Ring Eyes from Pix. Bei mir in Studio war Hannah Rogers, alias Pix. Good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Und das war der Nachtclub mit Paul Baskerville. Ich wünsche euch eine gute Nacht.
NDR Info. Nachrichten.